Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Hello and welcome to Review Time's Theme Podcast. This is a fortnightly show where we discuss the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Dom, and I will be your host for today's episode, where we have an old favorite back. It's one that we've done before and was very popular. It's Luke and Dom Fix Theme Parks. But you might be asking, who's Luke? I've only heard about Dom at the moment. Well, I'm introducing the man who is openly willing to fight Bob Iger, Elon Musk, and Zuckerberg style to prove once and for all that Walt Disney did not say, if you can dream it, you can do it. It's our massive heavyweight champion, Luke Carroll.
I'll go to town to anyone who wants to fight me on that, because anyone who knows Epcot, knows where that quote comes from. And even Disney themselves have used it in so many things, and it breaks my heart every time I see it because they don't even know their own history.
Where does it come from, Luke? It comes from a little park we might be talking about today.
Epcot. E-P-C-O-T. But not what Walt actually wanted Epcot to be. Just the thing that they pretend Walt wanted Epcot to be. Epcot Center, the theme park.
Yeah, because they all sat down after Walt died and they're like, okay, so we've started teasing Epcot, but you know, none of us are really into building cities. Walt was, and I've heard things where it's like if Walt was still alive for like another decade, they would have actually built the city and it would be like a wildly different Florida. But then he passed away and they're like, well, what if we build a theme park? Because we're good at building theme parks, and theme parks make us a lot of money. And that's what we're talking about today. Yeah. We're talking about Epcot, and we're going to fix
Epcot,
but over two parts.
Yeah, which we have to say, Epcot, we love being in Epcot, but Epcot's in a bit of a sorry state at the moment. It's halfway through its overhaul, of which partially got canned and then reworked and then reworked again and then canned and then... Not
honestly,
kid.
This is one of the hardest projects to follow in like ever since starting Review Time and following theme parks. Like I've been following theme parks for like a decade, way before we started Review Time. But following what is actually happening at Epcot, I don't even think Imagineering know what's happening at Epcot. I think Bob Iger walks in there and just cries a little bit and then leaves. It's like that ad with the Indian in the US where it's like they look over the land and it's covered in trash and they like cry a little bit and then leave. Do you know that was also an Italian man?
Yeah, and that was like a ploy from essentially Big Plastic to push the blame onto the consumer. Yeah.
We're very quickly becoming a conspiracy podcast. Last week, we were talking about McDonald's and how they're like pushing everyone to go and do trash, like throw trash in the bin. But today, we're not throwing trash in the bin.
That's true. That was,
Yeah, it was all true. That's like why they also sponsor Little Athletics and the Olympics and stuff like that. Because they're like, the McDonald's doesn't make you fat. It's you. It's all your fault. But wildly proven to be wrong.
It is kind of bad for you.
Yeah, it is quite bad. Now, today we're going to be talking about three of the worlds at Epcot. Because there are four.
I refuse to call them by the stupid new names. We're fixing Future World today. We're not fixing World... I don't even know a pun to rip on the new three names that they've chosen.
Big dumb idiot.
Dumb discovery. World. Dumb nature. What's the other one?
World cellar. Cellar dumption.
Cellar dump. That is a dump. World Celebration has become a dump when they half destroyed Communicore just to rebuild a box in its place. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just to redo it poorly. Look, we will say, so what was previously known as Future World, if you go to Epcot today and you look at a map, it's now split into three parts. There's World Discovery, which is basically like, future stuff and aliens, I guess.
Which is on, if you're entering the park, World Discovery is on the left.
Yeah. Then in the center of that, basically imagine everything inside the monorail loop.
That's World Celebration. And then everything on the right-hand side, that's World Nature. And look, realistically, they did split these up well. The problem is that when they split all of these up and decided to go, we're going to fix Epcot by making them all individual kind of projects, it almost made Epcot more disjointed than it already was.
Also,
instead of treating
it as imagination
all one part. Nature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the one where I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, is it?
I don't know. Or is it in Celebration?
I think it might be part of World Celebration.
They just call it part of World Showcase.
Oh, that's dumb.
It doesn't fit anywhere.
Sorry, never mind.
It doesn't fit in either of them. It's stupid.
Just call it like Epcot and then just call World Showcase World Showcase. There you go. Yeah, they're two things now.
Like even Future World isn't a great name because so much of Epcot, even when it opened, wasn't futuristic.
Yeah.
Imagination wasn't futuristic. The Land Pavilion wasn't futuristic. Horizons
was the most futuristic. There was a
World
big emphasis
Emotion
on technology.
Not futuristic. It was like historic. Yeah.
This is one of the things that I think, and we'll get into this, but a lot of people forget that Epcot was not meant to just be a big Tomorrowland. Epcot was meant to be about real technology, not kind of like
how it's
superficial
changing.
Technology. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through and we're going to try and fix what was previously known that the artist formerly known as Future World. And we're going to try and do our darndest to try and make things work. Now, keep it in mind. We've got a couple of rules. Rule number one, this is kind of a blue skies concept, but we will be following the patterns and behaviors of the Disney company. So
we're not just going to build it what it was, 1983's back, baby.
And we can't just bulldoze it as well, unfortunately, even though both the fans and Disney have tried. The other thing as well is we are just two dudes from Australia who are fans of theme parks. We're not Imagineers. We're not grand project planners. So a lot of our ideas are probably not going to be super realistic.
Yeah.
But they're going to use our insight from the guest side of things because I would say that we've probably got a good idea about the guest experience, considering that we've dedicated review time pretty much entirely to improving the guest experience. So that's kind of at least my basis for going through and trying to fix things up and make things more relevant and make things less confusing. So without further ado, we should talk a little bit about Epcot. Luke, you were last there in, what, like 2021?
No, I was there last year.
2022?
I was at Epcot for the 40th. I was there.
Oh, wait, yeah, you went between
October,
our review time trip and
now. Yeah.
Wild.
Epcot is, and it was still Walls the Park when I was there, but
yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy had opened at that point. So it's kind of, and Ratatouille had opened as well. So the two major additions for the new Epcot in inverted commas had opened, but the middle of the park was and still is a construction site. So it's hard, you know, we're fixing Epcot even though we don't know what the finished product's going to be. We know the finished product's probably going to need to be fixed. So
yeah.
But if we start at the entrance and walk to Spaceship Earth, I think this part's very easy. I don't think this part needs any fixing. The new entrance to Epcot is really nice.
I agree. I don't have really any problems with the new entrance. I think your problems start kind of past Spaceship Earth, with Spaceship Earth included in that.
Yep.
I don't have too many notes on this area. Most of my notes are about the specific
pavilions.
Worlds.
Yeah.
But this area,
Dom, they're not called worlds anymore. They're called neighborhoods. They're not
Excuse
called lands.
Me?
They're called neighborhoods.
Well, they're called activations and precincts, baby.
There's four neighborhoods at Epcot. World Showcase, World Celebration, World Discovery, and World Nature. Come on. use the right terminology. Neighborhoods, so they- apparently, is the new hot name to call a land.
But excuse me, they all start with world.
Yeah.
The whole point of it's like, oh, Adventureland, Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, they're all lands because they got land in the name. It's just easy. You can remember that. These all start with world.
Nah, man, they're not worlds.
No, they're neighborhoods. Epcot is now an extension of a golden oak.
Do you think that's genuinely one of the guy who came up with this was like, I've got the best idea. We can reference back to when Walt wanted it to be a city. I guarantee you that was part of it.
No.
I guarantee. Have you seen that? There's a guy who's very passionate about Epcot, but he's an Imagineer, and he'll post things like, the color of this bathroom wall, where we designed this color from scratch in order to invoke the feeling of wonder that you would have had as a child when you first walked into the park. It's a mix of Figment's purple and Smart One's lilac together, giving the ultimate aura of Epcot Center. It'll be like used in a bathroom or something, and then this will be the post on Instagram of how like they came up with this color.
Look, I am all for creatives being creative. I'm not going to yuck his yum or anything like that. I think if you're wanting to go into that much detail for just something like a bathroom, then absolutely go for it. But one of the problems that I have with Epcot is that their priorities just to seem all over the place. Like, yeah. The attention to detail on those bathrooms and also like trying to call these neighborhoods and rechanging all of the names and conventions and all of that, it's just wasting time. Yeah. It's essentially like when you want to start a new project, but instead of actually going in doing that project, you go to an old one and just kind of like touch up things. You're like, I'm still working. I'm still doing my job.
It's just fulfilling a word count. At this, like, it genuinely feels like, oh, the D23 Expo, when they announced Epcot changes, they had to fill 30 minutes. So 5 minutes, we'll talk about how we change the names. 5 minutes, we're going to talk about the Walt statue. It looks like he's sitting on the toilet. 5 minutes. And then, you know, they're like, oh, phew, now we can just talk about the two new rides. There we go. We filled out quota.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like the initial plans. And if you haven't seen it, definitely go back and watch it. This was in 2019 at D23 where they announced all this amazing stuff.
I was in the room.
Yeah, Luke was there. I wasn't. And like all of these amazing things were coming to Epcot. They were going to redo a lot of the older stuff. And the general idea was they were taking everything that was outdated, a very big problem within Epcot, and kind of modernizing it and making it work. What has happened since then is that they have started doing that, then stopped, then started doing that, then stopped.
Then reworked it, yeah.
And I don't think anyone is really in charge of this anymore, because back in the day, you know, pre-pandemic, Imagineering was pretty stacked. Like, you had a lot of people in there who were taking on big jobs and ringleaders. Listening to this week's Disney Dish, they talk about how, like, within Imagineering, who is the person that they go to get, like, the lore of Epcot? To be like, what is our Epcot Bible? Like, you're Joe Rohde for Animal Kingdom, for
example. I'll do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. The guests will happily do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they have more experience within the parks than some of these Imagineers over in Glendale. That was all, honestly, part of Bob Chapek's move of pushing everything towards Florida so that they could compete more with Universal. And I still think there is kind of a problem with keeping Imagineering in Glendale. I think keep those Imagineering staff there, because just upping them and moving them isn't fair. But just create a new Imagineering down here that's dedicated to Walt Disney World.
There is Imagineering park, backstage at Epcot. Just expand that to be like, have local branches of Imagineering. And not everything
similar to what,
like,
you have.
Oriental Land Company does is designed in Japan, but they do have their own team in Japan who design a lot of the smaller scale stuff for that audience, because they understand exactly what that audience wants and is looking for. And if you look, you know, at any of the limited time events and stuff like that coming out of Japan, they're always done really well and people really enjoy them.
Absolutely. And this is like Walt Disney World isn't small. Walt Disney World is the largest tourism destination, like singular destination within the world, I believe it is. Like more people travel to Walt Disney World than most other places in the world. Well, not this year, apparently, going from research figures and that.
Yeah.
But in previous years and you know other times, so many people, like millions of people, come to Walt Disney World from around the world. It does not make sense to have your Imagineering on the other side of the state who are in charge of this resort, because you've got four parks, you've got two water parks, you've got all of the different amenities. Have people on the ground there and their sole focus is just this resort, especially when you've got stuff like Epic Universe around the corner and you've got Universal doing like their thing and doing it quite strong.
You're an Imagineer and you have the choice. You're an Imagineer in Glendale and you have the choice. You can work on something for Disneyland or you can work on something for Walt Disney World. Why would you work on something for Disney World? Because you're not going to be able to see it as easily. You're not going to be able to go to the project site as easily when it's being built. And then when it's finished, you won't get to enjoy it as much.
Yeah. And I think part of that is we're already seeing problems within Imagineering where it's like Disneyland for the 60th or the 50th, whichever one it was when they got the Hatbox Ghost. Yeah. Let's 60th, chuck that in where it makes sense in Disneyland. Walt Disney World, just put it in a hallway. Just chuck it in the hallway. It doesn't make
chair.
Sense.
That chair
story.
Doesn't have a use or a story behind it, even though it kind of does. But we can get rid of this chair. It's not bolted down. But
part of our solution at the moment is just get more Imagineers on the ground.
Imagineers who like are passionate and care about, you know, Disney's doing a lot of outsourcing at the moment. And unfortunately, outsourcing is just never a good way to get quality. You know,
no, because you are literally moving all of the people who get an experience with your product out the door at the end of that project. Yep. So let's say somebody comes on to fix up part of World Celebration. They're a contractor or they work for an external company and they do an incredible job. You're either now in a position as a business to go back to that company where they're obviously going to demand more. If it's like, well, our product was really well received. We've got tenders now from so many other different companies that want to work with us. You're going to have to step up. Or they just never come back. They move on to different projects. So that talent and the people who understand your actual concept, they're gone.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem with Imagineering at this stage is that a lot of the big wigs and the people who kind of made a name for themselves within Imagineering are gone. Imagineering as a concept is nothing like what it used to be. So you're not attracting a lot of people who are enthusiastic about the industry. Honestly, I'd say most people who are going through your, I think it's Caltech where they have their...
CalArts as well?
Yeah,
CalArts.
That's CalArts.
A big one, yeah. That's the classic A113 in all of the like Pixar animations is the classroom where a lot of them trained at CalArts.
Yeah, a lot of the creatives who come out of there, as well as there's another institution in Florida, I believe it is, that does like the theme park design and themed entertainment. A lot of people who are coming out of this place is, I could imagine, are heading straight to Universal.
Yeah.
Because that's where the exciting things are happening at the moment. What exciting
Epic
is happening
Universe
at Disney?
Is so exciting, you know. Look at that park. Look at what's coming up. If there was a place I wanted to work, it would be that. Because if you look at what Disney has coming, it's pretty much nothing. There's like a huge list that Disney released in their earnings call last week.
Yes.
And if you look at the list, you're... initial thought would be like, oh, wow, there is so much coming to, you know, Disney parks in the foreseeable future. But then when you read it, the only things for Walt Disney World were Journey of Water and Tiana's Bayou Adventure in the next like 4 years.
I also love that was a classic, like, oh, Disney Parks, Resorts, and Products, or whatever that branch is called.
Yeah.
And it's like D-pap. Filling out the list. You know, they've got a problem when part of that list is like Disney Cruises start in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, what an attraction. This is really good when compared to Epic Universe.
I'm pretty sure half of that list was cruise line stuff.
Yeah. And it was like the...
Yeah.
The three new ships. You heard the news about the new ship?
Yeah.
That they're going to keep the casino?
Yeah. Yeah. I said that to you the other day. Like, I bet they'll keep it. And then we're hearing that they're going to. And I was like, oh, I wish I didn't bloody let that out into the ether. It wouldn't surprise me if bloody Disney's, you know, listening into all our conversations for ideas.
Look, so under that, with whole the ESPN bet or whatever it's called and the casino coming to a Disney cruise ship, World Celebration is now all casino. We should turn it flat out.
That's what
out.
You celebrate.
Epcot's a casino.
But yeah, let's start with Spaceship Earth. I don't think too much needs to be done to Spaceship Earth, but I think it does need an update. I don't think the story update that they were going to do to it was necessarily the right answer. We don't know too much about that. All we kind of know it was, rather than being about communication like it currently is, it would have been about like storytelling through time, which kind of is a connection to it, but it did feel like that was purely designed so they could put IP in it. And some of the concept art we saw had light IP, which I genuinely say was in one way testing the waters for what, like, to see what the public reaction would be, because there was like the Moana kind of like hidden in the stars in one of the pieces of concept art inside like an existing scene already. So it was like, oh no, it's not fully IP.
I don't hate that. Like, I was on the fence about Small World when Small World was first getting their additions with the little characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If done right and with done with care, I don't have an issue with IP being in something like this. And I think connecting it to storytelling does work a little bit better for the future of Epcot, because one of the problems that they have is communications is constantly upgrading. Like, the current iteration of Spaceship Earth doesn't talk about phones or anything like that. Like,
yeah, well, that was my way of fixing it, is to get rid of the stupid screens. The screens are dumb. I hate the picture. It never works properly. And replace the part where you're going down backwards with more scenes that talk about current and future communications.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this would be a really good... And you keep the first 60, 70% of the attraction that everyone knows and loves and can update an attraction in a way that everyone would clearly agree would be an upgrade from that stupid screen version that's currently there now.
Absolutely. And you know what would be a perfect sponsor for an attraction like this to upgrade it to like modern communications? Chuck in someone like Apple. Like, if you know, Disney and Apple already have pretty good relationships. If you could get them to sponsor an attraction like this and make it about like the future of communications, integrate it with stuff like the iPhone and smartphone technologies and the future of those kind of technologies. Like, you could then have in the area afterwards, where it's outside Spaceship Earth, you could have an area to use the really expensive Google Glass Apple things.
Because currently Spaceship Earth finishes with people creating computers, right? Like, in there, like, it finishes with the nondescript person working in their garage.
The maybe Bill Gates.
Yeah. And then that's it. That's like, what, 50 years ago now? It's got the same issue that maybe it's probably 40. It's like in the 70s and 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got the same issue that Carousel of Progress has, where it feels like it just ends in the past, so it's hard to connect with, and every year that goes on it gets harder for people to connect with it. But
yeah,
if you can, you know, expand it out again, and they have the space, remember the old reversing part of Spaceship Earth used to have scenes before those screens were there. Some of them are still there, apparently, just behind that sparkly star curtain thing. Apparently there is some sets and props and animatronics still back
there. If you turn on a light, it's like, you can apparently see them. So, one of the things I reckon you could really do with this that Disney doesn't do super well, but was really brought forward during the pandemic, during those final scenes, talk about things like how communication connects people like we haven't been able to before. Yeah. Like, you could have one scene where at one point you have someone talking to someone on a phone, and then later down you have like another person who's having like a parallel conversation, and then you make that connection of like, oh, that's like, that's a different, that, sorry, that's not a different person. That's like a communication. They're across family, the world. You could even have it where it starts off and it's someone in a different country, and they're communicating with their family back home. And then, you know, the final scene is them all being together, but they were able to like still connect during the time whilst they were away, and how communications enable all of this. Like, there's so many things that you can do that I just think that what's your future is just not really worth it.
Yeah. At the time, that would have been cool. Wow, I'm in a ride. But it hasn't held up well. I swear the cameras, they haven't, you know, cleaned, because you always get like blotches in your face where it cuts you out like you're a piece of cheese. So I think that's a nice, easy fix.
Yeah.
Which it would have been interesting to see how much of that kind of would have been fixed. I'm guessing they would have got rid of the screens in the new update, but how they would have gone about that, we may never know. Because from what I've heard, that was going through lots of iterations, and there wasn't one fully signed off and approved when they announced it anyway. So who knows? But should we? We got a choice now. We've ridden Spaceship Earth. We're at the back. We can go to one of three neighborhoods. We can stay in World Celebration.
Yeah.
We can take a left and go to World Discovery. Or we can take a right and go to World Nature. Where should we go?
Well, I reckon we can really quickly just knock out World Celebration, because like the rest of it is pretty much buildings and stuff under construction.
Yep.
I don't think
the new gift shop and the new replacement for Electric Umbrella, both of which I think are fine. I think the replacement for Electric Umbrella, the connections with the Starbucks and the cafe, is arguably better than Electric Umbrella, which was like the 90s in a building. So that, you know, it's nice, it's sleek, it's cool. I find the gift shop a bit boring, but gift shop, can you, off the top of your head, what's the best gift shop in the world? Exactly. You can't name one. It doesn't really matter. Like, at the end of the day, it's not going to be that memorable, even if it's the best gift shop in the world.
I'd say probably Hong Kong Disneyland's Emporium, just because it's all connected as one giant building.
Yeah, that's the same as Disney World, but only on one side of the street, on the left-hand side. But yeah, the big issue in this land is they got rid of the right-hand side, Communicore West. They were going to build the big bar on legs, as we saw, the multi-story that was purely designed around selling that for VIP viewing packages for fireworks and those sort of shows. And then they also removed the Fountain of Nations, which I think is probably one of the biggest losses in this change up of Epcot. The Fountain of Nations was beautiful, in my opinion. The kinetics it added to the park, the sound of that crashing water to me. So in my fix for this, I kind of not bring back the Fountain of Nations, but you need some centralizing fountain still in this space, I feel. It doesn't have to be as big. The Fountain of Nations was one of the biggest fountains in the world. I think it may have been the biggest when it opened, or had some weird record when it opened for like the most water flowing through it, or some weird fake record that theme parks used to like to try to have back in the day. But some, you know, kinetics there. You could easily have, you know, a little stage built onto it like they used to have, where you could have, you know, the jammeters and all those kind of entertainment offerings, give them like a slight level. And then you have the fountain going when it's not, and have some nice, they've got the, like, the current plan seems to have a lot of weaving walkways and stuff like that, but to have some benches where you can sit and watch with some nice lush trees and greenery, because that's what was missing.
Here's my fountain idea. So you know how in Spaceship Earth, when you go on and it's like, where are you from? You're from Australia, push the screen. And then when you leave, it like shows your face on the screen and where you're from. Connect that up to a fountain, have like a big ball, the Earth, similar to what they have at Disney Sea, but then have like fountains all around the outside. And when somebody's like, I'm from Australia, it like splashes that part of the ball. Cool. So it's
you would just have it like, as well that like can nicely weave between different, you know, countries' national anthems or something.
Mm.
And then it's a nice connection because that pretty much is your connecting point then between future world and world showcase.
Yeah.
It
won't just be like, this part ends.
Yeah.
I think for World Celebration, there's enough happening here that, look, I'm sure that they'll figure it out eventually. I know some people are contentious about this. I think the bar stool on legs is a loss.
Yeah, I much prefer it to Communicore Hall, I think they're calling it now, which seems to just be a flex space box. But this is in a park that already has the big flex space behind England, is it?
The Millennium Pavilion, I believe it is, or whatever its name is called. It came during the Millennium Celebration. It was meant to be temporary and has stuck around ever since.
And same
they
as
need
the
a replacement
Odyssey as
that.
Well.
Yeah.
On the left near Test Track there, that building's a flex space as well. So it's like, what, you're building a third flex space? Just
they can't
to
even
build
use
a flex
the existing
space.
Ones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're probably trying to get rid of one of them. Like, there's likely structural problems.
I guarantee Millennium wasn't... it's a tent. The Millennium one is pretty much a tent. So it probably was only designed to last for 20 years or something. And now they're like, uh-oh, it's done.
Well, let's go over to the right. Let's head to World Nature now.
Yeah.
Because I've got a couple of ideas.
We
got to
talk
World
about
Nature.
Imagination, actually, because remember, that's in
World
Celebration.
Oh, that's World Celebration.
Apparently. Journey into Imagination's a hard one. The ride as it currently stands is shocking. It's dreadful.
Hmm.
But I also don't trust the current Disney company to do a refurb of this attraction in any way that would make it better. So I don't know what. Like,
Can I give you an idea? Okay. Yeah. Let's imagine for this. I'm going to throw out a couple of things. I'm going to end it with a really radical idea. So these are my not so radical ideas. So bring in imagination and that theater or whatever's there. Into,
the Magic Eye Theater? That's its official
name? Yeah,
bring
it
name.
Into Stupid. World Nature.
Mm.
Now, before we get up there, we'll leave that for now. We'll come back to it. Ooh. For the seas is very underwhelming. It didn't always used to be, and it's got some good parts, but I think part of it is that it's just in an awkward spot, and Nemo doesn't quite have the appeal that it used to.
Yeah.
Despite it still being very recognizable, I think there's a lot of Nemo attractions out there.
They like Nemo more than you would expect at Disney parks. Hmm. Almost every, you know, not quite every resort, but three resorts have major Nemo based attractions, and this resort has two parks with major Nemo based attractions.
And I think when you've got something like that, I don't know, for me, I see Nemo and it's like, fine, it's going to be the definition of fine. Nothing's really been held up to a huge standard except for maybe Crush Coaster, which I haven't ridden. But I would change.
Oh yeah, that makes four
Nemo
resorts actually.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of Nemo out there.
Gosh.
Change Nemo here for Luca. Now, I know Luca wasn't insanely popular, but I think you've got a really good opportunity here to create more relatable characters than anthropomorphic fish and kind of connect it up to be like, discuss things like overfishing and pollution and the problems about that. Like, you can go into things like sustainable fishing and that's kind of what Luca touched on with being in the fishing town and that. Like, it's a good way to pivot that, bring a new IP into the park that hasn't really been touched on anywhere else. Mm. I think there are a lot of people who really enjoyed that franchise and that film. And being able to then be like, cool, we've got a Luca attraction is going to do so much more than what Nemo is. And you can pretty much just replace the screens.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do all that much to,
that's kind
to
of
change
what
it
was
over.
Originally, like, it was just a overlay, which I'm honestly shocked they haven't I know there's some parts, but they haven't leaned more into the whatever the aquarium they went to in Finding Dory was, the Marine Life Center. Like, I'm surprised they haven't rethemed cheap overlay, but can now call a new attraction and call it Marine Life Center, the Seas Marine Life Center or something like that. And then just put some new stickers on stuff. Hey, there we go. We got a new ride. Yeah, it's interesting with how much water is so important to humans. There's not actually a lot of water-based Disney films. You have Nemo.
No.
You have Luca.
Oh, Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. Yeah, but you're not going to really make it around Little Mermaid because you kind of want it grounded in reality, I guess, is their point.
Can we count Treasure Planet?
Yeah.
The space was pretty much the ocean.
I'm surprised they didn't go, this is now also where Avatar is. Avatar, the Way of Water, the Seas version. Like,
well, look. This may be where my radical idea comes in.
Oh.
So hear me out. It's not Avatar, but Walt Disney World doesn't have an Avengers campus. Now imagine taking the seas, the land, and imagination and making this the Avengers research campus. This is where they research ways to improve human like living situations all around the world. And part of it, like the Imagination Pavilion then becomes like the imagination of Tony Stark and his technology and stuff like that. You could mix it in with the whole web initiative and, don't make it the exact same attraction as Web Slingers, but have that same idea where it's like, it's a place of invention and you could have some really cool, fun rides around that idea. Then for the land, you could have that completely rethemed to still be a pavilion. It's still got the same stuff. Mm. You can still have Soarin'. You can still have Living with the Land. But you have Living with the Land and then have some of the Marvel characters there who are like, using our resources to like, maybe it's, who's the actor who plays Hulk?
Ruffalo? Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, Ruffalo. I was thinking Mark Wahlberg. It's too many Marks. Mark Ruffalo, you could have him being like, we're doing all of this research to improve all of our food. And, we've also got giant food. You could have some gags in there, like big giant watermelons and things. Same with the seas. Don't go with my Luca idea. That's all about like protecting the ocean, protecting our planet, preventing things like overfishing and pollution and stuff like that. But you use it as this catalyst of its how the Avengers would work in the real world. They are protecting our world from the greatest threat, ourselves.
Dun, dun.
but like our using that technology enemy. And that. I think kids would enjoy that.
Yeah.
I think that
I reckon
it would.
I genuinely think if the Universal issue, shall we say, with the Marvel theme park ride,
I forgot
didn't
about
exist,
that. That makes sense.
I guarantee you this overhaul of Epcot would have been to turn a large portion of it into a Marvel theme park.
But we don't even have to go down the route
because
of
Guardians, that's,
Avengers.
Guardians shows you that they are willing to put Marvel in this park.
You could still have it be like S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. Like
just
something
weird
that's
what
not
they can
Universal.
And can't use. So I think because it is a specific list of characters from what I understand.
Mm.
Which is why Guardians, they can use because Guardians wasn't on that official list of characters because they were essentially a nothing team. Nobody knew about them. Nobody cared about them until the first James Gunn film. And there is a few others of that they can use from what I understand. I believe Black Panther is one. There is Doctor Strange, maybe another. Mm. I'm not sure, though. There's a couple I know of. But Guardians has been the one they've utilized the most. Walt Disney
World.
Well,
that's why I wonder, like, how far can they push it? Where it's like, no, this isn't the Hulk. This is just Mark Ruffalo.
Like, he's like, here.
You could still have it where it's like, oh, it's not Avengers. It's the
Super
something very close
team.
To Avengers. But then, oh, here's Mark Ruffalo doing the voiceover, but it's Hulk. You all know it's Hulk. Like, you could go down the more like casual superhero route, like what's her name? Brie
Larson, Captain Marvel.
Brie Larson, yeah. You could have Brie Larson in like casual gear, being like, "We're doing stuff in the ocean," and that. I don't know. Look, I'm spitballing. I'm giving Disney ideas.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I genuinely didn't have much in mind of how to fix the seas because of, I would say, the top three pavilions that need an overhaul. It's probably number three, in my opinion, out of this park. It's fine. At its core, it's a big aquarium.
But isn't that Epcot's tagline?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Like, it's a big aquarium. You're not going to get rid of the aquarium part. I understand why they also have used Nemo over something like Little Mermaid, because it's grounded in reality more. It's easier to have a message about the importance of, you know, fish and overpollution and overfishing of the oceans, those sort of things, if they're realistic-ish anthropomorphic creatures, compared to here's a fake mermaid telling you something, you know?
Well, that's why I thought Luca maybe works, because you use like the more human characters and the guy with the big mustache. I just really like
the
that
dad.
Guy.
The Pixar dad.
The dad.
Icon.
You can have that, because what I wonder when you're going through Nemo, I'm like, these fish have an agenda. They're plotting something. they don't like humans. We're the ones who are out there causing all these problems.
Yeah, why are they being nice to us? Why are they why are they singing their little song about their house? Unless there's an
in
ulterior
the big
motive.
Blue world.
I do think that for quickly race through, because I have more ideas for the other side of the park.
Yeah.
Which is,
no, that's all right. I don't.
Yeah. I think land as a pavilion and as the offerings inside are good. But the pavilion itself feels like I've walked into a mall that was built in the 1980s and hasn't been vacuumed since then, let alone anything else has happened to it since then.
Absolutely. It's like, it is, in my opinion, the best pavilion on this side of the park. But my gosh, does it need an update? Like, the attractions and everything are fine.
Yeah.
The
maybe a new thing,
the restaurants and all that.
Yeah, the Garden Grill. The rotating one genuinely looks like I've stepped back in time just looking at it.
Yeah.
But I think Soarin' Around the World isn't great. Maybe a refilm of that, just to make it, the transitions are a bit whack. You know, the classic of, it feels too fake compared to Soarin' Over California in my mind. It just feels simulated, which a lot of the shots are, which doesn't help, where Soarin' Over California is pretty much completely practical with just some like cross dissolves, which look better than the weird fake out transitions they have now. But I do like the places that you go in Soarin' Around the World, and it makes perfect sense at Epcot Center. So your other option would be Soarin' Around World Showcase and go to the pavilions that are at World Showcase and create a new film based on that is exclusive to Epcot Center, rather than trying to split the cost of making a film, which is one of the cheapest attraction things you can make, between five resorts like they did. Just make one for Epcot. Make it Around the World Showcase Pavilion. There's more than enough beautiful things to see there. And, you know, you can put in some little Easter eggs. You can put in some little, you know, bits and pieces. And it makes more sense to me than here's a fake Taj Mahal because we didn't have the rights to film the real one, but we still wanted to use it for some reason, even though there's countless other nicer looking things we could have used here.
Yeah. You could even do something fun where it's like soaring around our worlds and it goes to all of the different Disney parks. Like, go to Shanghai, go to Paris.
Everyone loves the part where you land at the theme park.
Oh yeah, when you fly back into the parks and
everyone
they've got
loves
like
that part. Like,
the fireworks and that, and for some reason Tinkerbell comes out for Epcot. It always weirded me out, but it works. Yeah. I like
and
it.
I would also bring back some form of animatronic show here. Food Rocks. Wasn't as good, you know, as Kitchen Cabaret, but Epcot needs more things like that, I feel, where you can run it infinitely. It can keep running. It just eats people. They have that theater in there that no one ever goes to, turned into an animatronic show or something instead. Yeah.
I know the one you're talking about. Last time I was there, it was like the Lion King and sustainability or something, but it looked like the worst thing I had ever seen. Like the sign was a 2D flat.
I've never been in that theater, but I can guarantee you, and you'll be able to do the same, you would know what that theater smells like.
Oh, yeah.
Like any Disney 3D theater from the 1980s smells the exact same. Don't know what it is, but they all just have this smell, and it's not necessarily a good smell.
It must be what they clean the glasses with.
Yeah.
Maybe that just like permeates into everything.
Do you have
any ideas for Imagination?
Yeah, I was going to. So there was originally for the big overhaul of Epcot, there was talks that Imagination, Journey into Imagination, would be remade in utilizing modern technology and utilizing modern sensibilities. So essentially plus one-ing in of the original attraction, which to me would have been incredible. I think the easiest way is reopen the part at the top that is currently like a DVC lounge or something, make that into a cool bar, make it into Imagination Bar so everyone can go up there, gives you a nice view over the park, and then the ride, you either have to bring back the original or get rid of the Imagination theme altogether, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel another version of, you know, whatever they were looking at Inside Out or any of that. Inside Out isn't about Imagination, about emotions. But anyway.
Yeah.
I don't trust Disney to do something cool with the Imagination Pavilion unless they bring back some of the parts of the classic while also, you know, bringing in some projections, projection mapping, making it modern, making it next level, which that was the rumor of what they were going to do at one point, which kind of makes me sad.
Yeah. Disney isn't known for moving backwards, though. Like, they're the ones who are, they are more likely to stick their feet in.
Well, I think it was like more probably bringing back Dreamfinder, bringing back original Figment.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing back some, you know, the Dreamport and the Flying Machine and all those sort of things, but telling a new story with new technology.
See, I don't mind the Imagination Institute as a concept because it really did work in the time where it was like the Flubber guy and it was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids guy and all that. It was these recognizable characters that you're like, oh, this is clearly where they go to work. It's very similar to in Back to the Future, how that was like the Back to the Future, the ride. That was like the Technology Institute. Yeah. This could easily be something just more modern. Like, I'm sure Disney has IPs out there based around technology and imagination that they could easily slot in.
Literally make it, bring back Dreamfinder. He's part of the institute. The ride itself, get rid of the ride that currently stands. Just make it a nice, fun, trackless dark ride where you get to go through, you know, the sight, sound, taste, the labs, but now they're like trackless dark ride rooms that you go to and you experience different things in those rooms. And instead of Nigel Channing being the host, make the host Dreamfinder. Have different, you know, sometimes he's on a screen. We haven't seen it yet, but trackless dark ride with like a screen in the vehicle. Have like him as a host on the screen and then sometimes he's in the room. And then you can play around with that idea of creativity and imagination is you. And make it a place where pretty much the idea stays the same. Like, it's a place where you go to experience all the different parts of, you know, the senses and parts of your imagination and what makes your imagination come alive, but just modernize it.
Here's a really out there idea, and it's one that I think you'd have to toy with to see whether people would actually be interested. And you could gauge kind of your metrics from things like the imagination story, how much people were interested in that. If you wanted to update this, why not make it the Imagineering Pavilion and then have an attraction around constructing attractions? So you could do some really fun stuff where it's almost like, you know, enter a blank space and then it starts like getting drawn up and then you see the effects like, and it could go through how different effects are done.
That, don't they?
Yeah.
One of the kids club is like called the Imagineers Club or something like that. And they have like,
and you could have this
VR rides. They have, you know, a modern version of that design your own coaster that you can then experience thing.
Yeah. You know? You could do something similar where it's like, go through how design, how attractions are made, but in more of a fantastical way, kind of like the Hershey Chocolate Factory tour of Imagineering. And then that could also be a recruitment campaign in itself to be and like, oh, one day when I grow up.
Go through how you build it. And then at the end, you get to ride it in inverted commas. And you could have some form of interactivity between the guests. Like if you made that final room a throwback to, you know, Horizons, where you would your future, because that's what the kind of, you know, the your future at the end of Spaceship Earth, it is like a throwback to the Horizons where you got to pick Mesa Verde, Bravo Center, whatever those three were, make it so there is some interactivity with the guests. And then the final room could be like a 360 dome or some description where you get to experience the ride you've helped build or something.
Yeah. And then at the end, as you're coming out, you could have like a little model of the ride as well. Like have all of these really fun things.
Your outro.
I just reckon that'd be cool.
Yeah. And your little
It'd be very different.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I think there is that interest. And there has always been Epcot Interventions Pavilions have hosted a lot of not necessarily Imagineering things, but things that you could easily rework into being Imagineering things.
Some of All Thrills, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
how
long that stuck there. We do have to move on, though, to World Discovery because we're getting a little bit thick.
One of them, unfortunately, Guardians of the Galaxy is too new. I don't think we can change it.
We can't touch it. I've got that note as well. It's like, I don't love the show building. I've heard good things about the ride, that it's very fun. I don't know whether it's worth the big blue box. But that's probably for you to say.
Epcot. Like, it's not very Epcot is my issue. If I could change it back to Energy Pavilion, have like a Wally hosted dark ride that talks about energy instead and showcasing the dangers of energy, because that's kind of what, you know, it's all about. Wally is all about the overutilization of energy and trash and those sort
of
things.
There was a problem with that I heard, which was I think they talk about it on the Disney dish, where it's like they did want to talk about some of, you know, sustainable resources and stuff like that. But imagine the sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Exxon and people like that. They're not going to be like, oh, if you continue to consume the planet, you're going to have a big desert. They're like, oh, but dinosaurs are fun. Hey, you know.
Well, that line in Ellen where they were like, maybe solar and wind might be a thing in the future, but we don't know enough about it, so we can't do it yet. That was still what it said up till 2015 when the ride closed. It's like, okay. Which, yeah, unfortunately, with the companies that sponsor Disney, you're not really going to be able to, and Disney themselves, make a whole ride that's about, like, overindulgence and over-commercialization and over-capitalization of things. Even though I think Wally would be a cool way to do a modern, in inverted commas, energy pavilion. Another one that I don't think changed that much, but kind of changed a bit, would be Test Track.
Yeah.
Like, I like Test Track, but I think you could very easily go for kind of a Test Track 1.5, where you kind of mesh the Tron track with the testing stuff and you merge them together. Because a lot of testing now is digital, done digitally in computers and stuff like that. So you take some of the practical stuff, you take some of the digitized stuff and just make it into a new version.
this was my idea, but you pretty much do that. So go back to making it more realistic and not like this, oh, you're in Tron. Well, you can't do Tron track because you've got a better Tron attraction
now,
at Magic Kingdom. But I was like, make it about electric vehicles.
Yeah.
Go with Tesla or someone, like hit them up. And that brings me into Mission Space, because I was like, well,
this
Mission
is where
Space,
I have my biggest ideas, I think.
Yeah.
So I'll hear yours first and then I'll go to what mine is.
So mine's a little bit going down that Tesla route. I have some criticisms about Elon Musk, and I think there are lots of very valid criticisms, but Tesla's cool, and so is SpaceX. And I was like, why don't we get Mission Space, call it Mission SpaceX, and center it around the real mission to Mars that they're planning. Mm. Have it all about like the new Starship that they're working on, the technology behind it. You could maybe have like a big model of it in front of the attraction.
We may be almost the same person, but keep going, because I'll explain mine in a second.
And then I was like, well, you could also have a section in there that part of the mission is deploying some Starlink satellites. And then that melds into communications as well. So it's like, all right, we're going to be leaving our planet behind. But thanks to Starlink, everyone back home can stay connected.
Wherever we are. Well, that
was
mine.
Like, there you go.
I agree. And I was reworking. I hadn't had the SpaceX, but that works if we merge us together. I was saying how popular Space 220 has proven for Epcot. So what if we rework Mission Space X into a pre-show for a new pavilion? Epcot is always meant to have a space pavilion. If you look back in the very old pictures, it was meant to be this giant space pavilion. But what if Mission Space took you to a new pavilion that exists where Wonders of Life currently is? What we've heard, that building, the Play Pavilion, is out of the picture. It's gone. Demo Wonders of Life.
Okay.
Build in its space, the space, in inverted commas, space pavilion, and you can either have it like the ISS, or if you want Mission Space X, make it like Mars. When the Mission Space X isn't a simulation of space anymore, it's a transport to Mars. And the post show is a big new building in the Wonders of Life space where you are on Mars. You are on the International Space Station. You can look out the windows. You can, and then they can have, you know, a show that talks about how you would farm on Mars. A show that talks about.
I was just like, wait, they could just pick up the entire Galactic Star Cruiser and move it over there. Well, if you took that like main lobby, you've got the screens, you've got all of that. Like, you could take that main lobby and put it in this space and like, there you go. That's a way
and
to
it's a
reuse
way to use all
that technology
tech that you've used, like that you've developed. Mm. And then you could have, you know, if you wanted it grounded in reality, you could ground in reality, but you could also ground it in, have some of the experiences in this new pavilion that are a Star Wars thing. One could be a Marvel-y thing, what, you know, but grounded in how we could possibly live in space in the future, essentially, whether that be aboard space stations, that be on another planet, be on the moon, whatever it may be.
You could even work with NASA to have some sort of collaboration where it's like a mini Kennedy Space Center. Mm. So that it's kind of that thing where it's like, hey, want to know more about space and get more of an idea, like head to Kennedy Space Center. And that way, that kind of like, if they could build a relationship with them, that gives Disney a faux gate that they can send people to create that relationship so that people spend another day. But maybe it could be like create a bus route from Walt Disney World straight out to Kennedy Space Center so that people stay at your parks for that day that they're heading out there. It's a way in which they can increase the time at which people will stay at Walt Disney World and not go over to the brand new theme park just down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think
we are the same person, Luke.
Yeah.
We're
just a connected version of each other there, I feel, which, you know, keeps it as well. I actually think that Mission Space is kind of people don't like it. I don't mind it. I think it's kind of cool.
It's underrated,
It's unique. It gives you a feeling that no other ride in the world does. I know that feeling for some people is too, much, and that's fair. That's
valid. Why green exists.
But I've never done green, but I can't imagine it would be good. But I think these are logical fixes to the park. We could have sat here for probably
four hours.
Yeah.
I've got one more, and it involves Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here's my idea, because Odyssey exists. The only problem I have is it's like, okay, Disney will now have a lot of accelerated coasters, but I don't think having too many accelerated coasters is entirely a bad thing. Create something very similar to Velocicoaster. And use the Odyssey as like the load and the queue and all that. And basically have the same thing where it's like this fast coaster goes out, kind of interweaves with World Celebration and World Discovery, but then maybe have like a big top hat over that little walkway. And that's your separator between the two parts. Mm. Like that's your separator between World Showcase and Future World. It also gives Epcot something that it doesn't have, which is like a visual kinetic. Like it's got the monorail and it's got Spaceship Earth, but it doesn't really have...
There's no movement.
Yeah.
Which is what Fountain of Nations added so much of.
Yeah.
So this is a good way to add some of that back.
Even Test Track, like Test Track, despite you hearing it all day,
you can't see it.
Which apparently is a speaker.
No, they have like, it's not a speaker, but they've mounted something to the bottom of the car. So it amplifies that sound.
Okay.
They wanted you to be like, whoa. And because it was one of their ways of trying to tell people that the ride was going to be fast and scary.
As well as because a big
you can't
mirror.
See it. Yeah. This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's World Celebration, World Discovery,
fixed.
And the Avengers Campus Research Fair.
Fixed. Easy.
Disney, you can send us our check. we expect lots of money that they probably don't have at the moment.
Yeah, and if they did, I can't imagine they'll be giving it to us, unfortunately.
Yeah, fair.
But I think Epcot's in a weird state right now. I'm curious to see what happens with it because... It's not the best Walt Disney World theme park, but it is probably the best Walt Disney World theme park to spend time in. So,
I think, unfortunately, because of the part of the park that we haven't yet spoken about.
Yep. Which it'll be interesting. We're going to fix that. It may not be our next episode, but it will be coming up in the next few episodes because, we're going to fix World Showcase. It's good. But there's still got places it could be improved. There's a lot of expansion plots out there, World Showcase.
I think a lot of it will be like, you know what? For most of the pavilions, they're pretty good. Maybe change some rides here and there. Like, inside Mexico, you could do a little bit in there. But for most part, it's going to be like, get these plots and let's do something with them. But we'll come to that next time.
Teaser.
If you want to... get into contact with us about anything we've discussed on this episode, you can find us at reviewtime.com or youtube.com/reviewtime. If you want to get in touch with us personally, you can usually find us on X. I've changed up our outro because I'm trying to move away from just saying X every episode because it sounds dumb.
You can email us. That's always a good way. Luke at reviewtime.com or Dom at reviewtime.com. We'll probably see that before we see any of the other socials anyway. So it's a good way
to
get in touch.
And that does it for today's episode. We'll see you next time.
Bye.